Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 151.
Be quiet, you.
I'm Nick alongside Emily, alongside an Otto, who is sick of our shit. We've been effectively snowed in for a couple days.
There was a big snowstorm in our area on Sunday. It is now Thursday, and I have barely left the house. Nick had to leave to go to work. But it's just been me and Otto, and I'm pretty sure he is about done with me. And he was dead asleep 3 minutes ago, and then Nick started talking, and he jumped on him. So that's what's going on in this household. Things are going great over here.
And he's gone.
He was just mad. He's just mad that we're making noise.
But yeah, Emily, how you doing?
As we said, I want to leave the house.
You can.
There's no reason for me to be on the road. Yeah. There's no reason. I have the ability to work from home. I am walking distance to anywhere that I need to go, aside from work. There's no reason for me to be on the road, and it is still treacherous enough that I'm not adding to that. But my God, I want to leave the house. I want to go to Target. I want to go to the gym, maybe.
I've seen you drive. Yeah, there is no reason for you to be on the road.
Shut up.
Emily likes to zoom, in her words.
And there's ice, so I'm not going to zoom when there's ice.
Well, we are back from our little one-episode break before our two-episode break over in WCW Nitro.
Let me tell you, it was weird coming back to this timeline. I forgot what was going on.
It didn't help that over on the Patreon, we just did a bonus episode over there of TNA Genesis, where the whole thing is about, who's the mystery person? And we go to
this show, and it's,
who's the mystery person?
I didn't even put that together. You're right. This company loves mysteries. I know it's two different companies, but like, is it? Is it?
Well, today we're here to talk about the December 18th, 2000 WWE Monday Nitro, the final Nitro of 2000.
The final Nitro of Y2K. Will Jericho make an appearance? Maybe he's the mystery opponent. Could be.
No, you're just translating your Royal Rumble hopes, because we're recording this a few days before the 2026 Royal Rumble, so.
So you'll know.
In real time.
I won't. Yeah. I don't.
And there is only one more proper WWE show in 2000. It's the following Thunder, because next week it's all like, hey, here's everything that happened this year. And apparently Worldwide is still going. I was kind of unaware of that.
What is Worldwide?
It seems like now it'll occasionally have a unique match taped for it, but it's just like a clip show almost.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I don't even know when that airs, but a match that's advertised on this show ends up being a Worldwide dark match under its classification.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that's still fucking going. I also learned that is the last show of WCW that airs. After the final Nitro, they have one more Worldwide. And wow. They go, well, that's it, I guess.
That's the longest running, like the latest running WCW
yes.
thing?
Yes.
Jeez.
And you're able to verify, because in the intro, it has a little clip of Shane McMahon on that Nitro. So I'm like, well, okay. Anyway, tonight's Nitro, December 18th, 2000, from Richmond, Virginia. I was wondering if it's going to be there or Baltimore, because Starrcade, the night before, was in D.C.
Right.
Which, God, Starrcade 2000 feels a while, it's so long ago for us.
Yeah, we watched that so long ago, but like not.
I have the ratings for tonight's show.
Oh, tell me.
Nitro did a 2.26 to Raw's 4.74.
You know, pretty standard, I guess.
This is actually Raw's lowest rating in about 2 years.
Really? God damn it.
Yeah, the big hook for the show is we're going to book Vince McMahon versus Kurt Angle for the title.
For the title?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then Swerve, they fire Mick Foley.
What?
Yeah.
That's not the Swerve that I thought you were going to say.
Because Linda has now been zombified.
Oh, she's wheelchair Linda.
Yes.
Cool.
Not to be confused with her being brain dead in this year.
Yeah.
We can't get into it.
We gotta let it go. That'll turn into a whole podcast on its own. Everything's great.
Let's ease the tension. I have some backstage notes. No weather report because no show in between.
Fair.
Emily, I don't know if you realized it as we were watching it, because I've told you before, but I think you might have just like... It might have just left your brain.
If this is a long-winded killer, is relic spelled backwards, joke.
It's not, but apparently John the Bold comes back on the next Thunder.
Oh, hell yeah! His groin is repaired!
No, this was the final Nitro that had Mark Madden.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
How unceremonious!
Because I have some Mark Madden notes of DDP and Mark Madden have heat, and Mark Madden refused to shake DDP's hand to, like, squash the beef. Apparently, the one-week suspension the other week, Mark Madden thought DDP was the reason why it happened, and apparently it would have been because he called DDP Leatherface.
Oh. Damn, DDP's having a rough couple weeks.
Yeah, but in general, Mark Madden has been shit-talking DDP, including on commentary, and yeah, he gets fired during the upcoming break.
Damn.
As we kind of noted in the last episode, the reasons listed are he referenced the company's sale on air, talked about Scott Hall on air, and both of these things may have come up on the hotline as well.
Oh, jeez.
But he, yeah, has he DDP, and Mark Madden's hotline reports were apparently pre-recorded and vetted by WCW, but he still got in trouble for them.
Huh, that doesn't seem fair.
Well, it's also possible they didn't actually listen to them as well, but in short, no one really knows why Mark Madden gets fired. It just seems like maybe they're just fucking tired of him.
I mean, I get that.
Because you know who seems tired of him on this show? Tony Schiavone.
Tony just feels exhausted by everything, though. I've been saying that Tony Schiavone deserves, like, lifetime MVP at the end of this because, like, the amount of shit that he has to deal with.
I don't know. His professionalism doesn't always hold up.
Like, yours wouldn't either, man.
I get it, but, like, oh, and apparently he's supposed to get pay through January, because that's just like the severance terms, whatever.
Okay.
But he apparently went on some interview and shit all over WCW, and they're like, oh, breach of contract. We don't have to pay you now.
Oh, shit. That so, sucks.
I don't know what happens with that, but
that's kind of funny, though. Yeah.
So I've mentioned before, like, these, like, phantom shows in between now and the next Nitro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like, or the one I can verify is on the Friday after this, on the 22nd, there is a Thunder taping.
Okay.
I don't know if there's other ones or not. It's not well documented of that, but people did not want to work that show because I don't think they were really told about it until recently.
Okay.
And my last note, apparently Ed Ferrara is the current head writer of the show, aka Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And apparently he is the only one who wants Mike Awesome to keep his that 70s guy gimmick.
But if he wrote this Nitro, he wrote a segment that shits on the That 70s Guy gimmick.
I think it's more, he was the one dissenting voice going, no, guys, no.
Guys, and no, it's cool.
He got outvoted.
Okay, that makes sense. Good Lord. What a carny motherfucker.
Like, how was it ever supposed to get him over? I don't.
Because the right person thought he was funny at the right time.
He's not funny. He's not a good promo.
Are you talking about Ed Ferrara or Mike Awesome?
Both. But Mike Awesome is who I was talking about.
I mean, maybe they were just hoping that it would bring in a different audience.
I mean,
hell if I know.
It's the same group of people that were like, oh, Disco Inferno pitched a Martian gimmick. Great shit, brother.
Yeah, exactly. No, the right person at the right time thought Ed Ferrara was fucking hilarious, and that sent him to the fucking moon.
But that's all the backstage notes. You ready to get into our main show tonight, Emily?
Let's do it.
Last one of the year.
Woo!
Just think about how much the show has changed in
this
the past year. Yeah.
In the year 2000, so much has happened.
Yeah, the final Nitro of last year would have been main evented by Bret Hart and the reformation of the NWO. That's how 99 ends.
And that's how 2000 starts, basically.
Yeah.
Jeez. What a long year.
But on the show, Ric Flair welcomes us to Monday Night Nitro. Not the name of the show.
Sure isn't.
He books Buff Bagwell versus Bill Goldberg for later tonight. He then announces an announcement that, hey, we're going to have these big plans for the pay-per-view main event of Sin, and more on that later of who Scott Steiner is going to face.
Sure.
Like, he doesn't actually say anything. He says he's going to say things.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I heard that right.
We then get some Nitro stills of Starrcade. No mention of the main event interference here, but that will come up eventually. Mm-hmm. We then get the Nitro opening and the opening pyro. Tony Schiavone, Scott Hudson, and Mark Madden on commentary.
For the last time.
Yeah.
Well, how long does Scott Hudson stick around?
He's run to the last episode. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I like Scott Hudson.
Actually, technically, he's on that worldwide show, so he's last technically longer than Tony Schiavone.
Oh, my God.
With Tim and Mike today.
Oh, Mike.
Pretty much immediately, we have Shane Helms in the ring, and commentary goes over the ladder match from last night. And because of that two-winner finish, We're going right into Shane Helms versus Shannon Moore, with the winner getting a Cruiserweight title shot, I guess, at Sin.
And honestly, these two, I know they're supposed to be friends. It's supposed to be like, it, I guess not face versus face, or is it face versus face?
We were noting at the pay-per-view, it's like, they're definitely trying to do something a little more facey with three count, and Chavo's definitely being a heel, so.
Yeah. But like, at least, at the very least, these two are supposed to be friends.
Yeah.
So there should be no dissension between them. I felt like there was some heat, though.
I mean, I think it's just like, you know, they're in a heated contest. They're in a heated rivalry, if you will.
We've made that joke too many times.
Yeah. But yeah, they tried the way out of doing the match last night, and then they went, no, you have to. So, you know, they're going to fight hard. I read it more as that, not...
I guess that's fair. It's just the look on their face didn't seem like, you're my friend, I respect you. It was, you have something that I want, fuck you.
I think it's just that I want to win.
Okay, yeah. Which I get that.
Because the first thing that happens is the two shake hands. It's like, we're good.
Yeah, they do.
Moore hits a head scissors, and Mark Madden deems Shane Helms... HB2K.
Got him.
He is the only one who is on board with this.
Yeah.
He says it a few times and no one else picks it up.
Is like, that's a good name. Like, that's just really, really dumb.
It's the energy of trying to give yourself a nickname.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know the Heartbreak 2 Kid.
I think he's trying to go for 2 count, know, right?
I, but oh, no, count, oh, no. 2000 was going for. Cause
Heartbreak 2000?
Effect. It just... It doesn't work, okay?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's stupid for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, it's like how there was Techno Team 2000. It's just, don't think about it too hard.
Too hard.
In the match, the two try to establish a bit of a ground game with quick pins and counters. Like, seriously, a lot of pins early on, until Helms throws Moore over the top rope. Commentary's like, oh my god, that was vicious. I'm like, kinda.
It wasn't. It's very fast-paced, though.
Moore tries for a sunset flip powerbomb from the apron, but slips, and then it's like,
oh, Shannon.
Yeah, he trips up Helms and then hits a diving Hurricane Rana from the apron, which commentary is like, it's a Frankensteiner.
Nope.
Funnily enough, in my brain, if you go directly backwards, it's a Frankensteiner. If you go at a bit of an angle, it's a Hurricane Rana.
Oh, okay. I think of it as like the twist on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Back in the ring, Shannon Moore puts Helms on the top rope, but Helms stops him and hits a top rope power slam. Helms then hits a fireman's carry gutbuster, then a bridging German suplex. Again, Mark Madden's like, that's the X-plex, which I'm like...
Stop naming things.
I guess, like, the legs are kind of, like, form a weird X, but that one, I'm like...
Mark Madden is trying to name everything in this match, and I know that Shane Helms does have a couple of, like, cool named moves, but every move in this match has a fun little name.
Shannon Moore counters a rocker dropper and then hits one of his own, and he puts Helms on the top rope again. Helms holds onto the ropes on a top rope Frankensteiner attempt, then hits a diving sunset flip, followed by a vertebraker, and he pins Shannon Moore. So your number one contender for the Cruiserweight title, Shane Helms.
I love that.
Sugar Shane Helms.
There is a line in this that I'm assuming Mark Madden says, where he says, that's not saccharin, that's pure sugar Shane. You're trying so hard, man. It is your last day. Stop trying.
He doesn't know it's his last day.
Well.
Post-match, Helms helps Moore up before Chavo runs out to attack them. Three count managed to fight him off, and they hit a nightmare on Helms Street, but...
Again, what is that? Everything has a fucking name.
But that's, I feel like they own the name of his move, not a tag team move. Because they hit the like Samoan drop neckbreaker thing, but also backstage, the MIA watch, and General Erection scolds Lash LaRue for defending Chavo last night. It's like, is this your king?
Is this your king?
Thoughts on the match?
It was fun. It was very fast paced, which like I'm not mad about, but these two can work in that pace, which I respect. Not everyone can work a fast paced match well.
It's funny with the post-match angle. I was very happy that they worked together to beat up Chavo, because Chavo just hits Shannon Moore first when he sneaks in. I'm like, are you going to do the, oh, we don't know who hit him? Like, it could have been his partner, where it's like, just watch any video of it and you'll see.
Trust your eyes, maybe. See what's on the video and believe that. How telling.
But I think that this was a good match. They're definitely... It was definitely effective in, I feel like Shane Helms shined more than Shannon Moore here.
Shane Helms is just good, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been team Shane Helms. Like, you know I fucking love the Hurricane. I've never really gotten the hype for Shannon Moore. He wasn't my favorite, but dilly gaff.
Yeah, you...
I did it myself before you could do it.
Yeah, fuck you. I was going to say, you know how he feels about your indifference?
Dilly gaff. He's going to write a whole book about it.
Let's move on. Next up, we get world champion Scott Steiner and Medasia coming out to the ring.
Scott Steiner has red chainmail on for this?
I feel like he may have worn this before. I don't know.
It almost looked like a trick of the light. Oh, also, we should mention, the version that we're watching is an old VHS rip. So it's kind of like SD vibes. So it's kind of hard to tell what's like really happening and what might be like a corrupted file bit. I don't know.
Well, Scott Steiner starts shit-talking Ric Flair and calls him jealous because when Flair used to be champion, he would, like, sneak by in victories. Like, no, I'm dominant. I beat the shit out of people.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about the mystery opponent. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, calls out DDP. And it's like, Flair, tell DDP to get a sex change so he has the balls to face me. And keeps calling DDP white trash and trailer park and bush league.
Yeah, it feels very out of pocket and kind of like uncalled for.
Yeah. Well, Steiner says on DDP, and he's like, he comes out here saying, bada bing, bada boom, bada bang. I don't even know what the hell that means.
It doesn't mean anything, Scott. Like, what? It's a catchphrase.
Yeah, he's saying, all right, Flair, send him back down to the bush leagues. He's white trash, does not belong here. And then is begging Flair, make DDP my next opponent. Like, yeah. Really burying DDP here. And yeah, this part's not scripted. He is not supposed to do this.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know what his promo was supposed to be, because this is the entirety of it.
Yeah. Like, we do get into, like, promoting the next pay-per-view, I guess, but, like, yikes.
Yeah, these two still have issues and are, like, refusing to work together before this, because back from the whole Kimberly thing, which I think we went over at Starrcade.
I think so. I think you're right. That was so long ago. But I mean, even that feels like ages ago.
It pretty much is.
Yeah.
But Ric Flair comes out to make the match at Sin a three-way dance. He announces a tournament that sounds convoluted, but it's actually not.
It's just Ric Flair convoluted.
Yeah. It's a four-man tournament where there's going to be two matches and the winners face each other in the main event. And yeah. They are added to the three-way dance.
Yeah.
Additionally, he has a new hire and he uses the word hire.
Yes.
And he's going to be the other member of the match, and that guy's here tonight.
But it's a mystery. We can't know until he reveals himself.
Yes. Scott Steiner then warns Flair to not piss him off, because, like, last time you pissed me off, you had to go visit Arn Anderson in the hospital. And, yeah, that pretty much ends the segment, but does not end the drama with this segment.
Oh.
As we've kind of mentioned and teased before, this segment results, or I guess...
I don't know if we mentioned it on the podcast, but I think you and I have talked about, like, backstage stuff.
Yeah, because... Apparently, DDP is at one of the monitors watching this and then goes up to Scott Steiner and is like, so I don't have the balls to face you, huh? And they get into a backstage fight and Scott Steiner wins.
Ooh, and I hate that.
Apparently, someone was noting, it's like, yeah, Scott Steiner had clipped his nails earlier in the day, which is a good thing, because apparently if he had longer nails, he was at a high risk of taking DDP's eye out of his skull.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Oh, God. It's like gouging his eyes out?
Pretty much. So Kevin Nash and DDP walk out of the taping.
Why Kevin Nash? Why was Kevin Nash part of this?
Well, he's DDP's kayfabe and shoot friend.
Sure. Okay, I guess.
But the world champion almost killed one of your coworkers and there's no repercussions.
It's also Kevin Nash, though.
Nash and DDP said they'd be back when the company had new owners.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, that didn't stick, but...
Additionally, Sid walked out of the taping.
Why did Sid walk out?
I think this was earlier in the day. I think this might have actually been a match for the upcoming Thunder, but effectively, Sid was told you're going to lose to Scott Steiner again, and Sid didn't like the idea of jobbing two nights in a row, so he left. So Kevin Nash, DDP, and Sid are not here for this Nitro and the upcoming Thunder.
Shit. I don't know. The only one that I'm really just, like, not believing is the Kevin Nash one. There's something about that that's, like, Kevin just wants an excuse to have the night off. And, like,
we already got their money, brother.
Like, his only, like, real buddy backstage just walked out. He's like, well, shit, if he's not here, I'm not going to stay. You want to go get a beer? Like, I don't know. Something about that is just, like, I believe DDP's heat, and I believe, like, Sid is mad. I don't know about Kevin.
It's going out in solidarity.
Sure. I get that. If it was anybody else.
Kevin Nash is like, I have a fucking guaranteed contract. Like,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm like. Like, I'm going to get paid either way.
Yeah, I feel like Nash was probably somewhat between, all right, I'm going to walk out or I'm going to go out there and pull my dick out.
Oh my God. I'm glad he didn't pick the latter.
Yeah, he saved that for Magic Mike.
Ew. He didn't pull his dick out in Magic Mike.
I have not watched Magic Mike, babe. I don't know. He plays a male stripper.
I'm pretty sure it's only PG-13.
I don't know.
Is Magic Mike R?
It's a movie about a male stripper. There's no way they did this in PG-13.
Okay, yeah, it is R.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, let's move on.
Do some research for the podcast. Get back to us.
Yeah, let me go watch Magic Mike and just hope and pray that Kevin Nash does Full Frontal. Like, what? I don't want that.
But long story short, they're not here tonight. Sid will be at the taping on the 22nd. DDP and Kevin Nash, it's a little bit weirder, but we'll talk about that next episode.
Okay.
They're all at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you know Sid to the pay-per-view.
Yes, I do. Because what pay-per-view's coming up next, baby?
Sin.
Sin, and it is a sinful day for Sid.
We then go to a pre-tape thing. It's Jimmy Hart with a special paid announcement.
Why are we still doing this?
He has a green screen now.
Yippee. Why are we doing this?
It's like, oh, wait, no. His announcement is not that he has bought a green screen. It's that he wants to fight radio DJs.
Still. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're still fucking doing this, man.
And he apparently is going to at that Thunder taping.
So, yeah, he apparently convinced, what, two DJs?
Yeah. Two Memphis DJs. Because we know to this. He's like, oh, I'm going to fight them on Nitro.
No.
Yeah, you do not fight them on Nitro. That is the match that is listed as a dark match for the worldwide taping.
They literally said it was a special televised match.
It's not televised.
Wow.
You cannot find this match. I was looking today and it's like, it is part of the taping schedule for worldwide.
Wow.
It is not on Thunder.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm a little sad because I would watch that match just to just cringe at it, but I'm not surprised.
Go rewatch him versus Mancow.
No.
Oh, additionally, apparently there was also a dark match at some point during our timeline of him wrestling Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, God. I got my fill of Bubba the Love Sponge in TNA.
It wasn't even that much.
That's enough.
Let's keep moving on. Backstage, Mean Gene is with Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger.
Yeah, he's like scolding Buff Bagwell for his performance as a backstage interviewer at Starrcade.
Oh, basically the lack of professionalism, because it was basically you were there to be an announcer and you're getting involved in stuff and...
But then he kind of goes into
it. An announcer.
Yeah, he kind of goes into it. And Gene is like, this is my job. This is how I make my living. Stop shitting on my job.
You make your living doing the hotline. You know it, Gene. Oh, relatedly to Gene, during our snow days, Emily has rediscovered Okerlunds. Oh, wait, that's behind the paywall. People don't know what Okerlunds are over here.
Oh, my God, that's true. Well, then you might know what an Okerlund is if you watched John Cena on Cody Rhodes podcast.
Yes, it's effectively a glass of vodka and a sploosh of cranberry.
I think a sploosh might even be too much.
Yeah. In John Cena's words, you whisper the word cranberry over the drink.
I think John Cena also said you can like get some cranberry juice on your finger and flick it into the drink.
Yeah.
That's how much cranberry juice. I'm doing more than that. I'm not an alcoholic. Yeah.
Yours just turned into vodka cranberry doubles.
Yeah, it's just a very strong vodka cranberry. I will say, I think we might have said this before. Wheatley vodka is pretty good. I would drink it neatly.
We didn't use
Wheatley. I know, but he's talking about it on the Cody Rhodes podcast. That's probably better with Wheatley vodka.
Anyway, Buff first wants to talk about Goldberg's book and notes he has a personalized copy. And oh, there's a typo because Goldberg's stupid.
But he's also like shilling the book.
Something about this screams malicious compliance.
Yeah, probably.
But Buff also notes his big plan after 9 years of getting screwed around by WCW is effectively to team with Lex Luger.
What is the plan there?
Just, this is my way to the top now.
Okay. Their tag team name actually is kind of cool.
Yes, they are Totally Buff.
Totally Buff with the total stuff.
Totally Spies, starring Lex Luger and Buff Bagwell.
That's kind of the vibe I was getting, was Totally Spies.
Lex Luger then almost starts cutting a promo, and Scott Steiner just comes in to be like, you guys gotta help me find out who the mystery guy is.
Yeah, it's very erratic.
Oh, we didn't note earlier that the four people in the qualifying matches are all a mystery, so Steiner can't go attack them.
Which is smart.
So technically, he's been doing that. These guys could have been in the tournament, or I guess Lex, because Lex is not booked tonight.
True.
When Steiner leaves, all three are like, he's out of control.
I mean, yeah, because he kind of is. And is this pre or post
you
backstage
know,
brawl?
You know, it's probably just before.
Oh, God.
Or this is a pre-tape, which I can't rule out.
True.
Our second match tonight, it is Meng with Kiwi and Paisley versus Terry Funk for the hardcore title.
You know, Meng versus Terry Funk, that could be fun.
I'm realizing, Kiwi and Paisley definitely came out with Meng.
Sure did.
They disappear.
Tony Schiavone has a note about that on commentary. We'll get there, I guess.
Because Terry Funk doesn't come out at first. He appears on the screen behind Chainlink Fence. And he does a bunch of his usual insults that you were like, oh, that's not good. And I'm like, yeah, just calling someone banana nose is just a Terry Funk thing.
It feels racist. I don't know for sure that it is, but it feels racist, and I would not say it in this day and age.
He challenges Meng to a hardcore title match, negating the graphic we saw right before for a hardcore title match. Yeah, what? He's like, yeah, I'm in this cage backstage. Come fight me. And Meng goes back there, and it's a chain link fence, and I think we're using that.
It's a gate. Yeah. It's like where they store the like electronic equipment and stuff for the venue behind locked gates so that people don't steal it. I don't know. It's not a cage.
But the two just start brawling in the back, and Terry Funk hits a trash can shot, and then they drop handcuffs before they actually get it on anybody.
But then Terry Funk does have handcuffs on later.
Yes.
I think he kind of pulls a Lyra Valkyria where she puts them on herself.
Probably a little bit. Well, the problem was Lyra's ones broke and she had to pretend.
True.
Terry Funk at least had them on.
Yeah, eventually.
My next note is, what is this grunt from Meng? Fucking Meng turned into goddamn Mandark.
I think I sussed it out. I think that grunt.
Fucking Mangdark.
Good one. I think that grunt is so that the two of them can talk about spots backstage under the guise of this grunt. Irish whip. Like something like that. I don't know. Trash can.
He's doing it the whole time.
The whole time. I'm not even exaggerating it. It's so weird.
So Meng hits just a bunch of weapon shots. Terry Funk half begs off and then insults Meng, so Meng blasts him.
I did not like Terry Funk begging off. I don't know why this struck a chord with me where he was like, no, man, don't hit me. I've got grandkids. I'm like, you're Terry fucking Funk. Take the trash can shot, dude.
The fact that he goes from that to like, you ugly, stupid motherfucker. It's like, that's what brought it back for me. I was fine with it.
I still didn't like it.
Terry Funk cannot help himself but be a little fucker.
That's true.
I also can't tell if Funk's meant to be a heel or not.
Who the hell knows, man?
They start going towards the arena, and at one point, Terry Funk is holding a trash can and throws it up in the air, and it just, like, gets caught on Meng's afro. Like, there's no impact.
It just, like, boinks. Yeah, this is a bad match, man. This is, like, I love Terry Funk. I love a hardcore match. This is bad. This is walk and brawl, but with aluminum trash cans.
Meng hits bin shots on the way to the ring. His commentary notes that Terry Funk apparently has knee issues.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, he needs a total knee replacement. So,
when they were coming back down the ramp towards the ring, he looked like he was walking so bow-legged. It might have been an optical illusion because of his pants, but it looked like he was really bowing his legs out.
Will I be able to get around comfortably?
You need new knee, Terry.
You need new knee.
But when we get back to the ring, as they're walking down, is when Tony Schiavone goes, wait, where did Kiwi and Paisley go?
Yeah, it didn't occur to me that they vanished until now, but they're not at ringside anymore.
He does kind of play it off, because I think it was genuine at first. He's like, where the fuck did they go? Oh, they got out of the carnage, something like that.
Yeah, they came out for a hardcore title match, and they went, whoa.
Yeah.
Meng then grabs a table, accidentally showing off the thunder apron underneath the Nitro apron.
Yeah, they're exposing the business.
Meng no-sells trash can shots from Terry Funk, so Terry Funk then hits himself with the trash can, busting himself open.
Jesus Christ.
Meng lays Terry Funk on the table and goes for a dive, but Funk moves, sending Meng through the table. Meng then locks in a Tongan death grip, so Crowbar runs out with his special new monkey wrench and hits Meng from behind, giving Terry Funk the pin. And commentary immediately notes, like, oh, Crowbar's in his, like, old attire of, like, jeans and the tank top.
Yeah, he looks more hardcore grungy again.
He is not a 70s guy no more.
Good. Although he did look good. I'll give him that.
So Terry Funk retains. Crowbar grabs the mic, and he's like, I did this to ensure you're at 100%.
So that I can fight you at Sin.
Yeah.
I get it.
Which, admittedly, he was about to lose. Like, that's how you're going to face him, not so he's 100%. But he also does, like, shit on the 70s gimmick of, like, it was making me lose my edge, and that's not going to happen again.
Oh, I thought he saves that for his backstage segment coming up. I didn't realize he said it in the ring here.
It's a bit of both.
Oh, okay. He was right. He's right.
Yeah. You defended the look.
I defend the look, but I don't defend that. I agree that did take away his hardcore edge.
Thoughts on this match?
bad.
Yeah.
This is a bad Terry Funk match.
Yeah, I liked the post-match energy enough to where I didn't hate the whole segment, but the match itself, yeah, it was bad.
It was hard. It was hard to watch. Also, the grunting just fucking
it made us laugh.
took me out of it.
Okay, I got the wrong kind of enjoyment from it for that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, is the grunt going to be my best bit and this be also my worst bit? Maybe.
Jesus, send this match to Adam Bibolo. Grunt of the night.
Honestly.
Half the match.
Honestly.
We then go backstage. Scott Steiner confronts Jeff Jarrett and tells him to find out who the opponents are. Like, Scott Steiner has the energy of, like, a crackhead trying to find, like, the next fix.
Seriously. That's why I'm saying, like, erratic is the word.
Then we go to Mean Gene with Big Vito.
Vito doesn't know what to do with his hands.
I am going to just play this because I have no notes on the thing other than he just sounds like a seventh grade play.
Yeah, Reno. What happened to being a good brother, huh? What happened about standing behind me? I always stood behind you, always there for you. Never let you down, but you let me down. You let mom and pop down. What's the matter with you, man? Don't you got any family values? Guess what? I got family values, and I'm going to stick up for myself, and I'll stick up for my family. Natural Born Thrillers, you want to hang with Reno? Fine, you're going to pay the price, because I'm coming hard, and I'm coming after you. And when this thing is over, Big Vito's going to have the last word. You understand that, brother?
And the whole time that promo's going, he's just shadowboxing. He's just shadowboxing. See, he doesn't know what to do with his hands.
You know what actually he sounds like to me? I think I've been putting it better than the school play. He sounds like a low-budget animated Christmas movie where they cast shoot kids and they don't have the lines fully like in their head.
But Santa, what will happen if Christmas does not come?
You betrayed the family. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
And Gene brings this home. The Sopranos have nothing on this family.
Hey.
That said, you know who's not here tonight? And not here on the upcoming Thunders.
Marie?
She's probably not here on the fucking next night show.
I think
either.
Marie's gone. I think we've seen the last of Marie.
Which you still are like, it's still the energy of
It's not the energy lovers. Of a family. It's the energy of a love triangle.
But swing and a miss there, Vito.
Well, he's shadowboxing. He's practicing.
Elsewhere backstage, Mike Awesome approaches Crowbar. He's like, what's going on? Why aren't you in your 70s stuff? And Crowbar tells him the 70s stuff was basically killing his edge, and Mike Awesome should follow suit.
Daphne is with Crowbar during this, and Crowbar is like, yeah, Daphne kind of convinced me. And she does this cute little, like, yeah, I did it sort like, of yay! Like look. Yeah. I love Daphne so much. She doesn't say anything in this show, but her aura, her vibe is just unmatched.
I will say Mike Awesome does take this to heart very, very soon.
Oh, he's going to turn on him. That's going to be their big feud.
Oh, no, they don't feud. Oh, sorry. Logical storytelling? No, we don't do that here.
Wait, I'm confused.
Awesome's going to ditch the gimmick, and I don't think he's going to even interact with Crowbar after this.
No, oh, okay. Well, could have done something cool there. Like, yeah. You abandoned me. Nope.
We're going to our first of two qualifying number one contenders tournament matches.
That was a mouthful.
Something like that. Lance Storm comes out first, and because it's a mystery, we don't know who he's facing. Storm grabs a mic and notes that he's won every title but one of them.
And the commentary goes, the women's title?
You never had a belt for that, motherfuckers. Yeah. Don't pretend. And he notes because this isn't an election, the Americans can't screw it up for him.
And this is the one line with commentary that I'm like on their side, where commentary's like, all right, you've plowed that into the mud enough. Like, we get it. Move on.
I mean, technically, he's still not president, so...
Well, he gets inaugurated in January.
Yeah.
It's been decided.
Yeah. Millie, I think this is only the second live show since Gore conceded, so he's okay, milking it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's still milking it.
And the first live show would have been last night, which I don't remember if he probably cut a promo of.
Fuck if yeah. I know.
But Storm then calls the anthem and is interrupted by the Filthy Animals music, and Rey Mysterio comes out in his best Hot Topic Santa/Ebenezer Scrooge cosplay.
Yeah, it's like leopard print Ebenezer Scrooge.
It did make us ask, though.
No, it didn't.
It made me ask.
Who's that Pokemon?
I didn't even look, because he's Scrooge.
I went more for the Santa vibe. I went, he's probably Delibird, but like, Iron Bundle is Delibird, but something has gone wrong, it feels like, so maybe he's more Iron Bundle. Ray then takes off the hat to reveal the horns, and I'm like, oh, how is it worse?
How'd you make it worse, Ray?
And then the match starts, and it's like, oh yeah, it's Ray Mysterio. Okay.
It's so funny following Ray Mysterio on Instagram. I feel like every time we talk about Ray Mysterio, I'm talking about his Instagram. But whenever he posts a picture without his mask on, all the comments are like, oh my God, it's so weird to see him without a mask. Isn't this like super, you know, not okay? And I'm like, it's weirder for me to see him with the mask these days.
Yeah.
Like, it's still like, oh yeah, that's Rey Mysterio. Because there are so many mask luchadors in WWE right now, it takes me a second to be like, that's Rey. Got it. But he posted a picture with him, Rey Fénix, and Penta on the plane, I think going to Saudi Arabia. And they're both like, they're all three of them are like covering their face with their hand a little bit, but none of them have the mask on. And it's kind of weird because I would never know those guys, but I know Rey. I know Rey's face now.
Let's get into this match, though. Match starts during a Nitro still, and Rey uses his speed to his advantage, and also his ribs are taped up from the night before.
Yeah, I forgot that he hurt himself.
I think this is kayfabe.
Sure. I mean, I forgot that there was a kayfabe injury.
He's probably sore. Well, he got powerbombed into a fucking dumpster bin.
I forgot about that.
Rey slips out of a press slam, then dropkick Storm into the corner and accidentally into the ref. And you can tell it's accidental because the ref doesn't bump on this. It's just like, ah, fuck my knee.
This is like, refs are not glass, which means that this was real.
Rey's Bronco Buster. Then Storm gets his knees up on a springboard moonsault. Storm hits a backbreaker and then knees the back of Mysterio. Lance Storm hits a long delayed vertical suplex and Rey rolls out of the ring, but they come back in pretty quickly. Storm hits a gutbuster, but Rey hits a jumping crossbody, followed by a Storm jawbreaker, and then Storm locks in the abdominal stretch with some punches to the ribs, which I'm like,
good.
Yes, why don't more people do that?
That makes sense, especially when he's got injured ribs.
Rey hip tosses Storm out, but misses a springboard splash. They screw up a boot in the corner, but get the crowd back pretty quickly with a somersault plancha to the floor. Rey then hits a springboard leg drop to a downed Lance Storm, who is laying so dead. I'm like, oh my, is he okay?
Yeah, you were, like, questioning if he was cool.
Rey then goes for a springboard wheelbarrow bulldog, but Storm counters the wheelbarrow into a Canadian maple leaf, and Rey taps out, and Storm gets the win.
I feel like it's so rare that we see Rey Mysterio tap out.
I mean, just tap outs in general in WCW, there's not a lot of submission, true, you know, people in there.
That is true.
But also, he had the rib injury, so it gave him an out for it, which really we should have kind of seen coming going in.
Yeah, but also, like, it makes sense. Lance Storm was going to win this. But he was going to be a contender.
No shenanigans. He just wins.
You're right. No shenanigans. As a filthy animal, I'm kind of surprised.
And, like, the women were at ringside. Mm-hmm. We did nothing with that.
Oh, yeah. Major Guns was there, wasn't she?
And Tigress.
I knew Tigress was there. I forgot that Major Guns was there. Yeah, she really did nothing.
Thoughts on this match as a whole?
Eh.
Just that?
Yeah, I didn't love this one. I thought it was fine.
I heard that it was simple but good. It obviously didn't get enough time because nothing on Nitro does.
It's one of those, like, exactly what you expect from a Lance Storm Rey Mysterio match. Like, it's fine.
Which is good. Yeah. It left me wanting more, but admittedly, one of these guys is wrestling a little bit later, so.
There you go.
Although,
there's your more.
I assume Lance Storm can wrestle more than 10 minutes in a night.
Yes.
It was a short match, but didn't feel like it got cut off, which will come up later.
That is true. I mean, it did exactly what it needed to do. I'm just saying, like, it was fine. It was so standard.
Oh, and you mentioned earlier that we watched a VHS feed, so we may have some more bits in between the matches, because we got a Goldberg book ad next.
Yeah, but that gets cut, right?
I don't know. I don't know what does and doesn't for some of these, so. And then we go into our other part of the tournament. I'm not going through it again. And Mike Awesome comes out to the ring, and he grabs a mic. I'm like, yeah, he grabs a mic to make me sad one last time, aww. But it actually, like, wasn't the worst, and he teases dropping the gimmick, but does not commit to it here.
It was forgettable, Mike work from Mike, which I guess is fine. Again, standard's not a bad thing.
Jeff Jarrett then comes out to his actual WWE theme. You're like, what is this?
I've never heard his actual theme.
Just a blatant Kid Rock knockoff.
I had never heard it before. It feels weird. This sounds wrong.
No, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had never heard it.
Fair.
I only know the, like, twangy, honky-tonky shit from the dub.
When Jarrett comes out, commentary notes that if anyone said they were in the tournament, they'd be replaced, which is a level of secrecy I feel like they didn't actually note earlier.
Yes.
It was Ric Flair wasn't telling people, but now it's if they said anything, they'd be out.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because
I love this, because, like, what you're about to say, probably, backstage when Scott Steiner was being fucking chaotic, like, who's in the match? Who's the mystery opponent? Jarrett's like, I don't know anything. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, I guess that's partially what we're going for, because Flair did it in his promo for their protection, but now commentary is implying something more sinister.
I don't know.
So, different energy.
I really like that, though. Like, I think that's really good character work from Jeff Jarrett, where he comes out and he's like, I lied, motherfucker.
He has a moment at the end of the show, too, that's really subtle that I like. So the two lock up, and Awesome overpowers Jarrett, hits a jumping shoulder block. Awesome dodges the vault over and hits a German suplex, but ends up getting dropped on the top rope, and they go to the floor. Awesome hits a sloppy scoop slam on the floor, mm-hmm. and just generally throws Jarrett around and beats him down the announce table. Jarrett low blows Awesome on the announce table, and then they go back in. Jeff then hits a weird diving punch from Brett's rope. It's like, I don't know what you're going for there, but I don't think you actually did the spot right.
It was definitely not as impactful as he wanted it to be, or as impactful as he thought it looked.
Jarrett then hits a dropkick, but Awesome hits a sit-out powerbomb. For some reason, commentary is like, oh my god, two dropkicks in two nights from Jarrett. I'm like,
what? He does a damn good dropkick, though. It's so clean. It looks so good.
Awesome goes up top, and it's a diving clothesline, and then like a double underhook pancake kind of thing. Effectively, Awesome Kong's implant buster.
Oh, shit.
Awesome then wants an Awesome Bomb, but Jarrett slips out, and they somehow bump the ref via Mike Awesome, like, swinging his arm.
Charles Robinson walks into it. Like, more so than I've seen a referee walk into a bump in a while.
But he only, like, half bumps, because this is meant to be a setup for... Mike Awesome takes the guitar out of Jarrett's hands, and then Charles Robinson sees this and takes the guitar away from Mike Awesome. Mm-hmm. While Charles Robinson is putting the guitar away, Jeff Jarrett pulls out a second guitar, and guitars Awesome, and then pins him.
Yeah. So, sneaky second guitar.
Yes. So Jarrett wins. He is advancing after the sneak cheating.
This was a fine, good match, even. Who didn't see that coming?
Yeah.
As soon as it was Jeff Jarrett versus Mike Awesome, I was like, oh, Jeff Jarrett's winning.
The only thing is that traditional booking would have you believe, it'd be like, oh, hey, they're going to do heel versus face in the tournament final, too, and not heel versus heel.
Babe.
But, yeah, Awesome wasn't getting anything.
There is no traditional booking. It is who has the hand of the booker. Like, Jeff Jarrett is everybody's favorite child right now.
He has all the stroke. He's the chosen one.
Exactly. So why wouldn't he win everything?
Admittedly, yeah. I was like, this match wasn't bad. It, very similar in vibe to the last one.
Exactly.
The only
it's
difference
exactly what
was
you think it's gonna be.
Yeah, and because of that, the stuff outside the ring didn't do much for me.
Yeah, I have the exact same feeling for this as I have the Rey Mysterio Landstorm. Like, it's fine. It is grilled cheese. It's never gonna disappoint me, but it's not a wow factor.
I mean, have you seen Gordon Ramsay's grilled cheese?
It's still just grilled cheese.
It's barely.
Oh, I guess I haven't seen it.
Oh, no. It is like, you whispered the word toast at the bread.
Ew, really?
Yeah, it's so light, the cheese is not melted.
Gordon!
I think he's even been like, yeah, I fucked that one up.
You had to lie to yourself.
But yeah, so our tournament finals later is going to be Lance Storm versus Jeff Jarrett. We go to the back, Scott Steiner confronts Jeff Jarrett, and Jarrett's like, no, I had to do it, or Flair would have taken me out. Like, I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah. Sure. But I liked the lie. I liked that Jeff Jarrett is like, yeah, man, sorry. I had to lie.
Jeff Jarrett's lying?
To what? His buddy is what I'm like.
What? He wouldn't lie to Scott Steiner, Emily.
They're buddies. Okay. It's a good character moment. Let it happen. You know, it's a good character moment. Who's coming, Nick?
Blood runs cold again. Glacier's still coming.
And you know who apparently doesn't know about this? The backstage talent?
You know who's fucking stoked for this, though?
So we cut to backstage, and Norman Smiley is watching this ad on television as it is playing live. And Norman's like, Glacier's coming back? Yeah, hell yeah, Glacier's coming back, guys. And he does this stupid little dance. He's jazzed.
I really do not know when Glacier shows up. I know he does, so I know it's before March.
But I looked at Nick, and I was like, he's not the mystery opponent of Sin, is he? Jeez, no. That would have been crazy. Glacier runs out, and then Sid breaks his leg because Glacier ran out. Crazy.
We then get Mean Gene with Shane Douglas to cut a... It's just a Shane Douglas promo, man.
Yep.
Just... Like, I don't have the energy to even put into a depression for this. But
yeah.
Weirdly, he does not acknowledge the fact that he pretty much got screwed last night.
Well, no, he does acknowledge it. He says, even if you lose a couple battles, you can still win the war. That's it.
No, but him getting screwed was, I don't know if, I don't think you remember, Chavo came down during the match and then pointed out he's gonna use a weapon. Whoa, that's a DQ. Like, it was a screwy finish, yeah. And they did not acknowledge that at all on this show.
That is true.
Because he's also here to pitch on Thunder. They're gonna do the MIA versus Shane Douglas and Chronic.
Chronic.
They all cut a generic promo. Like, there's nothing to this.
I don't even remember what their catchphrase is to even plug that. Like, it doesn't fucking matter, man.
Well, what's always
breaking necks, cashing checks?
Well, apparently they're going to learn they're more than that, but that's what they're about. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
A bit that's definitely cut from fucking Peacock. We get a clip of Goldberg from Jimmy Kimmel's The Man Show.
Yeah, what the fuck is
this? Doing some Hanukkah segment.
What the fuck is The Man Show?
We don't have the time.
Oh, no.
It's Jimmy Kimmel, and I want to say Adam Carolla. Oh, and it's God. Like, yeah, so that's the vibe.
Yeah, okay.
It aired on Spike.
Huh. All right, anyway.
We then see Ric Flair is on the phone and planning a surprise involving the mystery opponent.
Just hyping up this new guy.
Then we see backstage Mike Awesome is just losing it and shouting and slamming stuff. And the Filthy Animals are like, what's this guy's fucking problem?
Yeah, kind of like underselling it. Or not underselling it, just like burying undercutting. Undercutting it, yeah. Let him look like a big deal for a second.
Then commentary announces for the first time that there'll be no new Nitro for the next 2 weeks.
Well, that makes sense, though, because Christmas and then New Year's.
Oh, like, yeah, it makes sense. It's just a matter of, like, they did not really note it at all until...
Anybody with two brain cells could figure it out, though.
Raw's doing shows.
That's stupid.
Well, Raw's hot. I also, I'm pretty sure they're pre-taping stuff.
Yeah, good, as they
and
should.
They can afford to pre-tape stuff like that.
True.
I mean, in all honesty, they pre-tape a Thunder before now and the next show, so they just really were not confident that people would watch Nitro on the two holidays. Including New Year's Day, I feel like you could have got away with that.
Yeah, New Year's Day I would definitely watch. Like, I wonder if they're just kind of, like, cutting their losses with Christmas. If they know that Raw is putting out an episode on Christmas, they're like, what are the odds that they're going to watch two wrestling shows on Christmas Day? It's possible.
We then go into the weirdest match of the night. Just like, why? It's Alex Wright versus Ernest the Cat Miller.
Yeah, fucking
with Miss Jones. Cat grabs a mic, insults the dancing of Alex Wright, and then is like, no, let him dance. Play his music. And they like start playing it, then stop it, then play it for 10 seconds. It's like, oh, that's terrible. We should make that fat ass Mark Madden dance.
Jesus.
You're getting one more in before he's gone.
Yeah, and then he gets like the crowd to start chanting fat ass. I'm like, good lord. Mark Madden did not like ask for this. Come on. He didn't do anything.
Match then starts. Cat dodges an elbow and hits a back body drop. Alex Wright hides behind the ref and manages to stomp out Miller, then hits a snap suplex. Wright throws Cat to the floor and Mark Madden runs away. Cat throws beer in the eyes of Alex Wright and... commentary's like, oh, that might have revitalized him.
Yeah, that was just their way of being like, he didn't fucking sell.
Much like the Pokemon move, Swagger, where it increases your opponent's attack stage by 2, but also confuses them.
I literally asked for this. As soon as we made the comment, like, oh, he's no-selling, I looked at Nick, I was like, make your Pokemon joke. I forgot that I said that.
Wright then drops Cat on the announce table, and the Cat WWs Wright coming back in. Wright then hits a back suplex, throws Cat back out, and then softly slams Cat into the ring post. Alex Wright then has to just block a kick from Miss Jones, just cheating. Like, he didn't get in her face, he didn't egg this on. She's just like, oh, Ernest is losing, I'm gonna kick him and cheat. Like, yep. But Alex blocks the kick and then eats one from the Cat. Despite that, though, Alex Wright regains control and then locks in an armbar rest hold. Miller powers out with a scoop slam and a chop, but is put back down again. Wright hits a high knee when the Cat gets out of the hold, and then... Cat slips out of a power slam, hits the feline, and wins.
This match went far too long.
Miss Jones drapes the cape on the Cat, and
of course they dance.
She does her one emote while the Cat dances.
Don't call it an emote. Oh my god. This was almost okay. This match was almost all right. I like Alex Wright. I'm okay watching Alex Wright. It just went like 2 minutes too long.
It also doesn't help that I am more willing than you on a lot of matches. You're like, what's the point? And I'm like, well, no, there's a contendership and all that. This, it didn't serve any story anywhere on any of the shows, didn't feel like. So it felt pointless in that where I'm like, okay, like you're not doing anything with either of these guys via this match.
It felt like a time filler match. Like, did Kevin Nash have a match and they needed to just, like, quick you two go wrestle?
Yeah, I do kind of wonder how much GDP and Nash walking out changed things. But the main event of tonight goes short. I'm like, you couldn't have just scrapped this and then...
Let the main event have a couple more minutes? Yeah.
We then get a Nitro trading card game ad, and it's about to get slap happy, in their words. So I'm like, where's Jared?
Is that what that game is? It is like a slap game?
Define slap game.
I don't know.
Like, it's a trading card game, like slapping cards down.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking like spoons or kings or
no.
Like something you have to hit.
No, it's from Wizards of the Coast.
Sure.
We then see a limo arriving. It's almost all the way through the show.
Yeah. But in the words of Tony Schiavone, uh-oh, it's a limousine on Nitro. Like, Tony doesn't, like, he reads this as just like, this is stupid.
I did feel like I jinxed us, because I remember thinking around the time, like, man, the Natural Born Thrillers haven't been on this show at all. And I was thinking, oh, with the insiders gone, do they have nothing for the Thrillers? It's like, nope, it's the Natural Born Thrillers. And
they just hadn't hit their cue yet.
Yeah, they're talking like big shots, and
God, these guys.
They want 12 of something from last night. I don't, women, probably.
Probably.
We then see Scott Steiner's attacking the Young Dragons for reasons.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, Yang is definitely going to be the fucking mystery opponent for Sin.
Elix Skipper was part of this, too.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, it was the Young Dragons and Elix Skipper.
We then get the Natural Born Thrillers coming out to the ring. Sanders grabs a mic and calls the crowd trailer park trash. He draws out heel heat with pauses and catchphrases, and Tony Schiavone is like, we fucking get it, okay?
Yeah.
Sanders says they're role models in so many words, just like everybody wants us and wants to be us. And he then says they were robbed last night. Doesn't get into the details of that. He also notes DDP and Nash aren't here tonight. And as commissioner, he's announcing it's Sin. Nash and DDP will defend the tag team titles against. And then Ric Flair's music cuts him off. Flair says he's banged a bunch of women here in Richmond.
Cool. Thanks, Rick.
He then puts over the Thrillers are good, minus Sanders.
Well.
And then books a tag team battle royal for Thunder. And they don't know how to end this or any promo with these people involved.
It's very, like, early days of the show where it's, you know, where it's Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and neither man wants to have the other one get the last word.
I feel like it's the opposite where neither one here wants the last word. They're like, no, you bring the promo home. I don't want to do it.
It's just bad. They just keep repeating each other.
So we have that to look forward to on Thunder.
Yippee.
Our second to last match of the night, it is Goldberg versus Buff Bagwell. Oh, and Goldberg's trying to get revenge for getting attacked last night at Starrcade.
Once again, why? Goldberg is just so poorly used, I feel.
This at least makes sense and isn't the heel commissioner like having him be a lackey.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, there's no way they're going to do this clean.
Oh, there has been so little shenanigans all episode. Like, there has to be shenanigans.
Well, it was also, so Goldberg's going to get attacked. The heels are going to form a new tag team. Mm. And Goldberg's going to get his revenge the next night. Like, right. It's not going to happen. But Goldberg comes out doing his full entrance and clearly checks for blood after headbutting his door.
Oh my God, yeah. Why are you headbutting your door?
He's 31-0, comes out of the ring, charges it, Buff bails. The bell rings when Goldberg comes in. Goldberg chases Buff, and then we just see Lex Luger is hiding behind the ring apron, like, not all that well.
No, with a chair.
But the camera angle they chose, he's just squatting. He hits Goldberg with the chair, DQ.
Totally, actual DQ, they actually call the match.
Totally Buff then beat down Goldberg until Sarge tries to make the save, but is put down by Sarge. Lex with a chair shot. Goldberg then fights off the heels and celebrates with Sarge. So once again, the heels cannot get the heat on Goldberg.
No.
He stands tall.
Right.
He did not kidnap a child on this one, though.
Correct. Yes, all the children stayed with their parents.
He already had his one for the week.
He's got a quota.
Yeah, this was lame.
This was so unnecessary. I can't believe this is even a match.
Yeah, it felt like a waste of time, especially because you have had Goldberg no sell attacks from these two.
Yeah.
The last two shows. Like, tell me these guys don't matter.
Right. Like, I felt that, like, they don't know what to do with Lex Luger for a while now, ever since they got rid of Liz, which, like, thank God. They don't know what to do with Lex.
Well, he disappeared for a while. Then they brought him back.
And they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, because he was in a feud with fucking Huge Erection at first. And then,
like, as soon as he was no longer feuding with Sting or had Miss Elizabeth, he was just useless to WCW. And they were like, well, fuck, we're paying this guy. What do we do?
Do you actually remember how he came back?
Not really.
He dressed as a ring worker setting up the cage to help Russo beat Booker T or Goldberg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was so
And even then,
ago.
They backtracked on that immediately. Like, my bad. I didn't mean to do that.
My bad.
Commentary then reiterates, again, we're not going to be here the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
As I noted, they'll just air best of shows.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because these are like the lowest rated shows Nitro ever does, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Our main event tonight.
Yay!
It's a number one contenders match to be part of the triple threat. So are you the number one contender? But
you're like the number, you're like tied for number two. You're 1A. Yeah. You're tied for the second contender.
Well, no, you'd be tied for first.
Okay, yeah, because it's a triple threat against the champion. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's Lance Storm with Major Guns versus Jeff Jarrett. Storm has a mic again, does his usual bit, and calls for the anthem, but it's interrupted by Jeff Jarrett.
I really think that Lance Storm needs a new bit.
Yeah.
He, like, that beginning part is just getting so tired. It's still funny, it's still effective, but it's like, all right, get something else.
Or, like, he needs to be more, like, aware and annoyed that it gets cut off, because he's just surprised every time.
Every
like,
time.
You need to learn things. The match starts, the two chain wrestle and push each other. The two keep standing off and simultaneously attempt heel moves. Jarrett dodges a vault to the outside, then locks in a figure four in the ring. Storm reverses the pressure, but Jarrett's in the ropes. The two trade roll-up attempts until Storm hits a jawbreaker and a dropkick. Jarrett crotches Storm going up top, hits a superplex, which leaves both men down for an eight count, which Jarrett only breaks by going for the pin, which...
Yeah.
I always find that funny that it's like, oh, they are still down.
That is weird.
Storm kicks out, then counters an enziguri and locks in a Canadian maple leaf, but Jarrett gets the ropes. Storm picks Jarrett up, and Jarrett just hits a stroke out of nowhere off an Irish whip. Like, oh.
Okay.
That's it.
And that's it. That's the end of the match.
Yep. Jeff Jarrett
wins.
It happened
so abruptly that I was just like, what the fuck happened?
It's just very obvious that they are out of time, because immediately Scott Steiner appears and gets in the ring with a pipe to, like, threaten Ric Flair on the mic. Small note, and commentary does catch it, when Steiner comes out with the pipe, Jared grabs a guitar and is kind of like, almost like holstering it. Of like,
oh, I got it ready.
Yeah, he's ready in case Scott Steiner turns into a fucking maniac and tries to attack him.
Oh, okay.
It was
like
a nice
that.
Little moment that
it's
I'm
a
like,
good
yeah,
little character
he's
moment.
Not stupid.
We've never said that Jeff Jarrett is stupid. He's not a good wrestler. He's a bad promo.
No, Emily, he's a great wrestler. I'm retired. He's a great wrestler.
You're a great wrestler. We say that around the house far too much. It doesn't help that both of our parents just recently retired.
But you're a great wrestler.
I'm retired.
Anyway, Steiner goes backstage to look for Ric Flair and the mystery opponent. Steiner grabs Jimmy Hart on the way for answers.
Yeah, he like kidnaps Jimmy Hart. He's like got him hostage.
And then starts beating down the door of Ric Flair. Did you catch who tries to stop him?
No.
Referee Brad Armstrong.
Okay.
The dye job on Brad Armstrong
Maybe
is
that's
so
why I didn't
bad.
Notice.
It is a jet black. And I'm like, brother, you have Ooh. Like gray hair at this point.
Oh, no.
But Steiner hits the door twice with the pipe, then tries to kick it open, and then just turns the door handle and opens it.
Oh my god.
Then Ric Flair is at the end of a long hallway and says something to Steiner, goes through the doors, and then out comes the mystery opponent in a mask and like a straitjacket looking thing.
Yeah, but his hood's up, like you can't discern who it is.
Well, yeah, because they start brawling. The mask comes off.
Oh, really?
They knock the mask off. He's still wearing like a ski mask kind of thing underneath.
Okay.
I slowed it down. You could not really get a look on who it was. It is actually, because this is not the big reveal, it is actually enhancement talent Robbie Rage.
Okay.
Because they needed someone to stand in because the person they wanted was not here tonight.
So they lied.
But you can kind of tell. It's like, huh, that is a very Rick Steiner shaped man. And this was supposed to be Rick Steiner.
Oh.
That was the big plan.
That would be interesting.
However, Ric Flair did note he hired someone for this.
That's true.
Rick
so
Steiner,
why is it not Rick Steiner?
Everyone figures it out.
Oh.
Apparently, that's why. It's like, nah, it's
really?
Too obvious.
Even in the eras before Twitter? Like,
I mean, everyone figured it out. It's enough people to wear the dirt sheets now.
Oh,
Dave Meltzer knows. And yeah, I mean, I think last thing we saw Rick Steiner doing was fucking Battle Dome. Like, he might have had a match after that, but that's the last thing of significance I can think of.
Oh my god, Battle Dome. That wasn't even that long ago.
Oh, the show ends 6 seconds after the brawl starts because security comes in to separate them.
Yeah, they really didn't budget time properly in this show.
No. Which is funny because they had stuff fall through, so they had more time than they knew what to do with.
But they gave the Cat and Alex Wright far too much time, and then they cut the main event too short. Like, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah, that match bell to bell was 4:44, Which, honestly...
That's it?
I mean, I thought it was shorter because everything... I mean, the other quality matches in the show were 6 minutes, 5 minutes, and 5.5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
This felt notably shorter, and I think it's because they rushed the finish.
Yeah, I think it was because that finish became just so abruptly. I think if they like actually did finisher pin, maybe.
This was the worst of the three tournament matches, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it wasn't really anything. It was hardly a match. But across the board tonight, wrestlers hated being in the ring. Everybody was walk and brawl or roll in the ring and then roll right back out. This one actually stayed in the ring relatively
Jarrett
more.
Did not use the edge of a chair as a weapon during this.
Yes, that's true.
I think all night he didn't. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
That said, yeah, rushed finish, still overall fine. And admittedly, this show as a whole, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't awful.
We came in and we're like, all right, first one back, this is going to be rough.
No.
And it wasn't.
It was fine.
It wasn't a good watch, but it was serviceable.
It was entirely fine.
They're actually setting some things up, trying to tell some stories. And I think it helps that you had four matches with good workers where I'm like, okay, cool. We're doing something here. And like, decent action.
Yeah.
What a wild concept.
Bad. It wasn't offensively annoying. It wasn't like, fucking get there already.
And most of the backstage stuff was Scott Steiner being a lunatic, which works for the character. So.
Yeah. You know, take what you can get.
But yeah, it's also funny that like this was a good episode and they were scrambling during it.
Right. Maybe WCW really does need the chaos.
But I'm also like, huh, was it a better show because the Thrillers also were on it for 3 minutes?
Yep. And Kevin Nash wasn't with them.
Emily, any final notes before we go into best bit, worst bit, MVP?
2000 was a hell of a year, man.
Yeah.
This was the longest year. Like, this is our second full calendar year we've done for the podcast.
Yes.
This feels longer than 99.
Technically, we didn't do every Nitro 99.
Okay.
We were still doing the builds until
until
like February. Like, it was not much.
Okay. But still, like, so much happened. And it took us so long to get through the year 2000 that I'm like, shit that we talked about 2 years ago in our real lives happened this year in the show. It's just hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah, the first episode of 2000 was episode 75.
Damn, all right. So it was literally 76 episodes ago.
It was the first episode after WrestleMania 39. So that was April of 2023.
Oof.
This is that.
That's so long ago.
Yeah, maybe the slow part of the slow but inevitable downfall was us
taking our sweet ass time. Yeah, probably.
You know, ECW. We had to do some Thunders. We had to do Ready to Rumble.
Of course, we can't let that stuff just fall by the wayside. Oh my God, was David Arquette in 2000?
Yeah.
Oh my God, much happened.
I mean, he was April of 2000. He was more than a quarter of the way through.
Oh my God, the Popemobile.
Yeah, because he won the title on episode 99, and then the Popemobile would have been episode 133.
That's crazy, because that's not that long ago. But it is.
And we noted last time, last Nitro, episode 170. We're in the endgame now, Emily.
Oh my God, we really are. Holy shit, man.
Well, before you get too existential, let's go into best bit, worst bit, MVP.
Yeah, I guess.
Emily, what did you choose for your best bit?
I gave it to the first match.
Okay.
It had good energy. It set the tone for the show right. I like watching Shannon Moore and Shane Helms.
That was definitely a contender for me. I think I am going to go Lance Storm and Rey Mysterio.
Fair.
You could maybe sneak Awesome and Jarrett into the conversation, but I think it's these two.
Okay. I respect it. I know you like Lance Storm a lot more than I do.
Honorable mention to just Crowbar's character work tonight. I liked it.
Okay.
I wouldn't give him MVP, but he did do good stuff and like it made sense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Emily, what's your worst bit for the night?
Meng versus Funk.
Yeah.
That just like really killed my spirit. I love Terry Funk. I love a hardcore match. That match was so bad. The fact that we were laughing at it, I think just elevates how bad the match was. Like, it was fun to watch because
yeah,
like that's funny.
Yeah, they were effectively doing the same spot they did last night with the handcuffed and headshots, but they were doing it with the trash can with the yeah, so it didn't hit us as hard.
This felt so much more like a walk and brawl than a hardcore match. What did you pick?
It was short. I'm gonna go with Buff Bagwell versus Goldberg.
Yeah.
Because it just felt like such a formality of a, all right, fucking do what you're going to do.
This is a segment disguised as a match.
it's a segment I'm not going to care about disguised as a match. We're like, I know it's going to be something mediocre and something I don't care about, and I still don't fucking care about Sarge.
Right. I forgot that Sarge even was a character.
Yeah.
And he came out, I was like, oh shit, Sarge.
And again, Goldberg stands tall.
Yeah, because why not?
Emily, who'd you come up with for MVP?
I'm giving it to Jeff Jarrett.
I am also going Jeff Jarrett.
For his character work.
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the show. This is the Jeff Jarrett show tonight. It is. He's picking up the slack for whatever happened.
But he's doing it well.
Yeah.
He's not like, it doesn't feel like he's being forced at us.
Yeah, he's a tactical coward.
Yes. And I don't even know if I'd call him a coward. It's just, like, logical.
Well, I mean, he's not standing up to Scott Steiner.
No, but I don't think that's cowardice. I think that's just, like, self-preservation.
Yeah, when it's a heel, though, it's like, he's doing it because he's like, no, don't beat me up.
It's okay.
God, dual Jeff Jarrett MVP.
I know.
He went from none to, like, he's actually doing good stuff.
Because we agree, he's not a bad wrestler. He's not a bad character.
He's a great wrestler.
He's just a bad promo, and I hate hearing the phrase slap nuts.
He's a repetitive promo.
Yes.
But that's going to do it for the final Nitro of 2000, and 2000 just as a whole. We got no more of those shows, because the next show we're doing is the final real DCW pay-per-view, Guilty as Charged 2001.
Other music is playing. I don't want to add another song to it, but it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, not their final show. That's not televised. They didn't record it, which is still wild to me.
That
but
is crazy.
Yeah, it's the final pay-per-view, and then just to end it on a happier note, even though I guess it leads to sadness, as you mentioned, we'll be hitting ECW One Night Stand 2005.
Just for like a fun little reprieve.
Yeah. And then we're back to Nitro.
And then we're back and we're sailing through on Nitro.
And I think we noted on the Patreon, the first Nitro of 2001 is going to come out on the anniversary of the final Nitro.
Ugh, such serendipity.
But we were talking plenty about all the stuff in our back catalog. If you want to listen to any of that, you can. Pretty much every podcast are found. You can also follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod. Or comment on Spotify. We also see those.
Yeah, comment, talk to us. We love hearing from you guys on all and every channel. And if you want to talk to us more and like connect with us more, we also do have a Patreon where we have over 40 episodes of different content from what we're talking about on this main line. We're talking about TNA over there. We've done some book reports. We've done a whole slew of different stuff.
And the day after this episode comes out, we will be doing TNA Genesis 2007. A.K.A. the debut of Relic. Yes. And Emily, I don't know if you're aware of this.
I'm going to Relic you.
What does that mean, Emily?
I don't know if you know this, but Relic is killer spelled backwards.
Yes, I tricked Emily into watching Relic's debut because she did not know until he appeared. And she went, who is that?
I hate it here. $5 a month gets you access to all that content on Patreon. Patreon.com/buttsintheseats.
So we only have one more trip to the proper land of extreme. And until then, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.